It's good to see each and every one here today. We give thanks and praise to God that we're able to be here. This morning after I rose and looked out, there was a whole yard full of rabbits jumping around between us and the Georges back behind the house there. I guess they're celebrating life this morning if they weren't drowned last night. But they looked like they were having a good time. I saw four. I don't know whether it was more of them or not, but there was at least four. We praise God that in His providence we are here today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10 and 11 is a text that we're going to be studying and have been studying, I guess I should say. We've been studying on Sunday night from Peter. But there's a good launching off place for the thoughts that I'd like to bring for us this morning. Peter says there, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter says there's some things we need to do to make our calling and election sure. Here he's talking about our salvation. That we need to make sure about it. We need to give diligence to make sure that we will never stumble or that we would never fall, the King James says. There are some things we need to make sure about. But you know, we live in a time whenever gambling is a experience that people seem to enjoy. Whether it's the excitement of the chance or of the taking of risks, there's not much assurance about it. And that's completely in contrast to those things that we need to make sure about here. Gambling has become a multi-million dollar industry. And I guess maybe it's the excitement or maybe it's the greed of getting something for nothing that is the basis of it. But when it comes to our salvation, it's not something that we should gamble about. In the gambling industry, there are always many, many more losers than there are winners. But when it comes to the matter of our eternal salvation, we want to make sure that we're not among those who are the losers. Gambling, of course, in itself is sinful, but that's not really what we want to talk about this morning. I want to make a spiritual application to it, in a sense, because it seems to me that not only do many people gamble literally with money and possessions, but there is a sense in which too many people gamble with eternal security. I'm afraid that there are many who are going to be lost because of carelessness toward their eternal security. When our loving Heavenly Father has given so much and gave His Son to die for upon the cross for us, when He has sacrificed His life in order that we might have the hope of eternal salvation, that we might be forgiven of our sins, it would be a terrible mistake for us to take that lightly. And for us to not to be careless and have an attitude of gambling, taking chances with our eternal salvation. It seems to me that that should not be among those things with which we gamble. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the scriptures plainly point out that the way that leads to salvation is narrow, and it requires diligent effort to follow it. Jesus said to us there to enter in at the narrow or the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow or straight is the way, and difficult the way that the gate, and difficult the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Straight and narrow, the King James uses those words, but the New King James uses the word difficult, and few there be that find it. It's a way that requires diligence. We cannot gamble in regards to whether we're following that way or not. It is something that we must make sure. Later on in the very same chapter of Matthew chapter 7, down in verses 21 through 23, Jesus says there that not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, he says, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out demons, and your name done many wonders? And then he says, I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity or lawlessness, this New King James says. Depart from me, who practice lawlessness. This passage plainly points out that here are religious people, but they have not made their way sure. They've not made their salvation sure, because they're going to be lost on that day. And he says that they're going to say, they're going to claim to have prophesied in his name, done many works in his name, cast out demons in his name. But yet he says, depart. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. They had not observed his instructions. We have a wonderful means of eternal salvation through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not any way that we can perfectly keep every law and every commandment, but through his merciful plan, we can have eternal salvation. We can be forgiven. If we are willing to acknowledge those sins, to confess those sins, and to turn away from them. But our Savior loves us so much, it would be a terrible thing for us to play roulette with our eternal salvation. But this passage plainly points that some are going to be lost. Religious people. I'd like for us to notice some things or some ways in which it seems to me people are gambling with their eternal salvation. The first thing I would mention is that many are gambling on a human authority to direct them to salvation. Many are gambling or trusting in their own consciences or their own feelings, for example, to guide them to eternal salvation. And they are basing what they practice religiously upon how they feel about things or what they understand by their conscience. Many are thus other types of human authority might be the counsels of men. Some man that might be head of a church or some convention that makes the laws for a various church. It is true that we must not offend our consciences, and we must live according to our conscience. If we go against our conscience, then that just simply means we're not being truthful. But a conscience can be misguided. A conscience is just that which we have been taught to be right or wrong. And something that might seem to be right to us according to our conscience can be wrong. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says that there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 said, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not within himself. It's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. And for us to depend upon our conscience or our feelings or the counsel or instruction of some man or the interpretation of the scriptures that some man has produced is to gamble with our eternal salvation. That's why God has given unto us his word. It is a light to our feet and a lamp unto our pathway. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the truth of his word that we must seek to know and to understand and to follow. There's one very grave example of a man who was seriously wrong, thought he was right, that's given to us in the scriptures. He was called Saul for the first part of his life. A man that we read about first in Acts the 7th chapter, whenever Stephen was stoned to death. The record says there that when those that were stoning Stephen laid their cloaks or their coats, we might speak of them, down at the feet of a man by the name of Saul. And Acts the 8th chapter tells about how that he continues his persecution of the church. And Acts the 9th chapter continues on telling about this man by the name of Saul, who breathed out threats and murder against the church, persecuted Christians, committing them to prison, giving his voice against them when they were tried. And then in the 9th chapter, the last part of, and later part of that chapter, we read how that the Lord appeared to this man by the name of Saul as he traveled to a foreign city in order to find Christians there and commit them to prison, and how he was converted and became the man known as the Apostle Paul. Some years later, we find Apostle Paul now on trial because of his preaching about Jesus Christ. And he's called up before the same Sanhedrin court that perhaps he had drug Christians before. And in Acts 23 and verse 1, then as he stood before that council, he said, men and brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day. Paul declared that all his life he had done what he felt was right according to his conscience. I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. Later on, in trial also, in the 26th chapter, in verse number 9, he declared there, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes on telling about how he persecuted Christians and put them in prison, voted against them that they might be put to death. He thought that was right. But he was wrong, wasn't he? Later on caused him to confess that he did it ignorantly, that he was the chief of sinners because of this previous type of life which he lived. Paul believed he was doing right, but he was wrong. We can be misled and led astray. That's why it's so important then that we not gamble with our eternal salvation. If it was left up to you and you alone, and you were the only one that stood, and all others were opposed to you, could you give answer from God's word as to why you're living the type of life that you are living, with the assurance of your eternal salvation? Or are you gambling depending upon how you maybe feel about something, or how you think about something, or trusting in the teachings of a religious group, or trusting in some man for your eternal salvation? Many do trust in men as heads of their church, or maybe in a creed or a discipline written by men, or the laws drafted by a council or a synod or a convention of some time, or many trusting in the belief of their parents. And you probably, like me, have heard someone say, well, this is what my parents believed. It's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. But all of that is to gamble. If we can't know that this is what God's word says for ourselves, we're gambling with our eternal salvation. We're depending upon somebody else. It's God's word that will save. And while we must have respect for our religious fathers as well as our physical fathers, and we must respect those who have made extensive study in the word, we must never let their ideas and their writings and so forth become our final authority. It's God's word that we must follow. Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the scribes for following the teachings of men. In Matthew 15 and verse 9, he said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." It's not the commandments of men that will save. It is the word of God. And if we, for us to teach our own commandments, is to gamble with our eternal salvation. When we begin to trust in others to make religious laws for us, or to interpret the word of God for us, then we're going to be tempted to do as the scribes and Pharisees did and exalt the teachings and the commandments of men above the word of God. In Mark 7 verse 8 and 9, he said, "Laying aside the commandments of God, ye do keep your own traditions, such as the washing of pots and plates." He says, "Full well you do reject the commandment of God in order that you might keep your own tradition." We must search the scriptures for ourselves. We must not trust in the guidance of any other man. Now that means the man that stands up here in this pulpit too. The man that preaches here. Whether he looks like the one that's before you this morning, or if he looks like somebody else. Whoever he might be. Because it is not my understanding, that's going to lead us to eternal salvation. It's not the understanding or the teaching of one, of some man. It is, our understanding must come from God's word. Acts chapter 17, verse number 11 speaks about the people of Berea, how that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Or one translation puts this, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, but they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. They searched the scriptures to see if they were so. This is to make sure of something. We must make our calling and election sure, not just take the word of some individual or some person or any other man. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Or it could be translated, "Studies to give diligence to show yourself approved unto God." So it requires study, it requires diligence. And we need to all be ready to give an answer to those who would ask us concerning the hope that is within us, with fear and trembling, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 15 says. No man has a right to change the gospel If we listen to men or the teachings of men, we're in grave danger. And the scriptures warn against gambling in that way. Really, in a sense, it's not really gambling. It's a sure thing that if we set aside the word of God. Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19, we find the warning there that if we are to add to the things which are written in this book, God will add unto us the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I don't want my name taken out of the book of life. I don't want my name taken out of that holy, eternal, heavenly city or from the wonderful blessings that are pronounced in this book, do you? We must not then gamble with it. We must make our calling and election sure. But that includes taking heed that we be not led astray. We're warned, amply warned, about false teachers and false teaching that would lead us astray. It seems to me also that there are many in the religious world who are gambling on halfway obedience to the Lord. It is true. We must ever confess it and recognize that it is not by what we do that we are saved. We can't earn our salvation in that sense I'm talking. At the same time, what we do is an indication of our faith and trust and reliance upon the Lord. And it is by that which we are saved. It is by faith, not of works. But our faith is indicated by our trust and reliance upon the Lord and our seeking to do His will, as well as our confession of sin and acknowledging our sins and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. But you know, if a person knows that he needs to do something, then he knows the Lord wants him to do something. If I fail to do that which I know the Lord wants me to do, am I not gambling with my eternal salvation? All unrighteousness is sin. Him that knows to do good, to him that doeth it not, it is sin. James 4:17. So I'm gambling with my eternal salvation. When I know it's the will of God that I do such and such, and I just do not do it. I'm afraid there are many a gamble in regards to obeying the several different commands. What about the command to be baptized? The scripture's plain in reference that we are commanded to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, to be buried with him in baptism. As Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost, they need to repent and to be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. And this man we talked about earlier, Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, Ananias told him, Acts 22:16, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And Peter wrote 1 Peter 3, verse 21, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Not the washing away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. But many are gambling that baptism is not necessary. Many have taken a position they do not need to be baptized. Many are gambling that just to be sprinkled, have some water sprinkled over them or poured over them, is acceptable unto God. Many are gambling on baptism in infancy, that they were baptized as an infant and that was acceptable. Even though the scriptures plainly point out that one needs to believe and then to be baptized, and that repentance needs to accompany it. John the Baptist, we read about in John or Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, refused to baptize some that came to him, told them to bring forth fruits meet for repentance, refusing to baptize them until they would do so. Certainly, baptism needs to be accompanied by faith and repentance. Yes, there are some things we need to make sure about. And we must not neglect those things. You know, if you go out to purchase a piece of property, maybe you're going to build a house or a new home, you purchase a piece of property. In the purchasing of that property, you have the title to that property researched to make sure that there's not anybody else that has a claim against it. You want to make sure that after you put up your nice, big, beautiful home here, somebody can't come along and say, "Hey, I'm sure thankful you built that home for me. This property's mine." And they start to give you their credentials showing how, when they purchased the property and that they have a claim against it, or maybe a 50% interest in it. We make sure that title is clear, right? When it comes to maybe the purchase of a used automobile, or even a new one for that matter, we want to make sure that there's a title. I remember one time when I just graduated out of high school and I went to Abilene, Texas, planning on going to college down there. I didn't have any transportation, and I met a friend down there and got acquainted. And he told me he had a friend that had a motorcycle they wanted to sell, and I could get that cheap and use it for transportation. He only wanted $50 for this motorcycle. Boy, that sounds like a pretty good deal, you know. I didn't know about a lot of these things that I should have known about, and so I purchased this motorcycle for $50. And he said a friend had the title, he'd bring the title. Well, he got my $50 and I never did get the title, because he didn't have the title. I finally found out it was stolen. And give up the motorbike and or give up my $50. There's some things you have to make sure about. That just $50. But back in 1956, that was a whole lot more money than what the $50 is now. You have to make sure about some things. I visited with a lady down in, I believe it was in Apache, where that she lived. Her husband was some 40 some years old and had passed away with a heart attack. And she was still all really broken up about it, and she was really angry because he had had chest pains for over a period of 2 years. And she had pleaded and begged with him, tried to get him to go to the doctor to see what his problem was. He never would go. And one day he collapsed right in their living room with a heart attack. Dead. You know, when it comes to our health, we better make sure of it. If you start having some chest pains, you don't want to mess around with it. You want to make sure that it's not your heart that's about to give out. Especially if those pains begin to move down your right arm and your arm begins to get numb or painful, then you better make sure, hadn't you? We don't mess around with such things because our life is dependent upon it. And we are foolish gambling with our lives if we do so. And yet there are so many that are gambling with their eternal salvation. Not making sure, not making application to themselves, neglecting to do those things which they know that they should do.
There are some that are gambling on obedience to the Lord at a later date. Now, there's some saying, well, I'm going to obey one time, sometime in the future. You're gambling on the future. Paul spoke to a ruler by the name of Felix in Acts 24 and verse 25, and the record says that as he reasoned with Felix concerning righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, that Felix trembled. He was frightened. He knew that his eternal salvation was not secure. He knew that he was lost, and he trembled. But he said to Paul, go your way. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you. He gambled on tomorrow. We don't ever read any place where that he found that convenient time and called for the Apostle Paul. How about you this morning? Are you gambling with your eternal salvation? Gambling that way maybe because you know that you're not responding to the Lord's love for you like you should be. Gambling because you know that there's things that you should do in obedience to the commands of the Lord and you're not doing them. Or maybe you are gambling that, well, tomorrow I'm going to make that change, or next year, or sometime I'm going to do what I know I need to do, whether it's to be baptized into Christ, whether it's to make some change and start studying God's word or living like you should. Don't gamble on tomorrow. James says, what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. So we ought to say, if the Lord wills, tomorrow we'll do such and such. We don't have tomorrow. Don't gamble on it. Won't you render obedience to the Lord now if you need to do so? While we stand now, while we sing.